We continue our study this morning in the prophecy of Zechariah, the second reading we had there of chapter 5, and verses 1 through to 4. We read it once, we need to read it again, so that the words, as well as their significance, remain with us. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a flying scroll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. These words have no obvious meaning or application to many of us. We can read it and read it and read it again, and we might find it extremely difficult to get anything spiritual out of them at all. This is a vision that Zechariah had, and therefore we need, and I need, to be most careful as we handle God's Word. God's Word here, especially, that's rich in images, rich in pictures. And we've got to try to explain them and to apply them to ourselves right now where we are today. There's a tremendous amount of symbolism here, but the symbolism has a simple lesson for us. But we need to get below it or behind it. We need to get underneath to grasp that lesson and its application. We need to listen to what God is saying to us today in this chapter, because today God is speaking to every one of us. Let us then look at these four verses and what God is saying to us through them. The theme is simple. We have a scroll. Now let's simply take that first of all. In the Old Testament and into the New Testament, they didn't have the amount of books that we have and the ability to print and to duplicate and to spread and to publish like we do. Everything was labor intensive in these days. For ordinary business, you had the papyrus split down the middle and the layers of it laid one that way, then crisscrossing it, laminated to form something that could be used to write on. For special occasions, they would use leather, vellum, for special days and things. When they would take the scroll, they didn't put it into pages because they didn't have the way of sticking these pages together. And instead what you had was you had one big huge strip of paper, just like wallpaper today. And it was written on both sides, a continuous sheet without any pages. It was stored on two big sticks or rods. The scroll can be quite small. It's just the same way as we have notebooks that go into your pocket. You can have a scroll that goes into your pocket, or you can have a big one like a pulpit Bible that has big sticks on it and big scroll on it, would fit onto the bookboard here this morning. But whenever they read it, they would unroll only a little part of it, and they would read it, then they would roll up that bit and then unroll another bit. That's the mechanics of the scroll that perhaps we're all familiar with. But we need to mention it Because what we've got here is quite different. Here we've got a scroll. But it's not just rolled up on sticks and you read a little bit of it in the middle. Here you have a scroll that is completely unrolled. That's what it means. We have here a scroll that is fully extended. And it's a scroll that's big. We're told that it's something like 30 by 15 cubits. And if it's that big, then there's big writing on it. And what does all this mean? And let me give this simple illustration. When you go to the beach in the summertime, or maybe you go to a show, an outdoor cattle show, an agricultural show, or one of the air shows. Or maybe you're at some kind of a Highland gathering. Whatever it is, sometimes you have a plane that flies across the crowd and it's towing a banner. It's telling you something's for sale or something's going to happen or somebody's attending, but it tells you something. I have it written in the notes, but I was astonished when I was walking just to come to church this morning. The very thing that I have here, there was going down Loch Linney, a microlight. Can you imagine a microlight? One of these little lawnmower engines, almost on a set of wings, going down Loch Linney, giving you a banner out the back, telling you the times of the Free Church services. Now that's the kind of illustration that we have here, a flying scroll. Whenever the sound of the plane is heard in the skies, everybody turns to look. Where is it? And everybody's able to read what's written on the banner coming behind it. And we're told here in verse 3 that this banner, it's not limited to the beach. It's not limited to certain small gatherings, however big or small they might be. We're told that this banner, this flying scroll, goes over the whole land. Nobody is going to miss it. Nobody is going to misunderstand what it says or what it means. Nobody is in any doubt what all this is about. God is shouting from the heavens, and the whole nation and all the people are going to listen. God is shouting from the heavens through this aerial banner of the flying scroll. And like I said, the writing is big enough that you can read what it says. And you can almost imagine if it goes down, the plane goes down through a crowd or a gathering. There's some people looking at it on that side and they see what's written and immediately they start talking. What did your side say? And they start exchanging. Well, my side said this and your side said that. And they keep on talking about what was written on the banner. Well, what was written on the banner? What was written on the banner here? We have the 10 words of God's commandments. We have, we're told, writing on both sides. On one side we have the writing of what God requires of us to Him. And on the other side we have what God requires of our relationship with one another. And one commandment is picked out on each side of the banner. And that's what's spoken of here. For example, our relationships one with the other, don't steal. On the other side, there's the relationship with ourselves and our God. And it says, don't swear, don't use God's name in vain. Don't make a vow or a promise using God's name that you don't intend to produce or deliver. Here it is, God's requirements set on a banner flying through the skies. And for those who break these commandments, we are told that a consequence will come. There is a curse going through the land on those who break God's word. God is not silent. God will not be indifferent to those who break His commandments. He takes note of what people are doing, and especially He takes note of our responses and reactions to what He says. He sees, His eye roams over all the face of the earth, and especially in our gathering here this morning, as we are confronted with spiritual preaching and privileges, God's eye is on us, and His ear catches every word we say, and He will act. We are told here that He visits house and home. And the sad and solemn thing is that He totally destroys those who rebel against Him. There are no half measures when God acts. There are no half measures. The book of Proverbs, and I just want to take one simple text from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 33, which sets it out so clearly. It says this, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But the blessing, His blessing, the habitation of the just." Does that not set it out for us so clearly, what has been said here by Zechariah? Well, there you have it. There is the vision, simply understood, a flying banner with God's commands for all to read. God shouting from the heavens to everyone in that day. And if that's what it means, how do we take that and apply it to ourselves now? Simply like this. What does God require of you and me? What does God want from us? All of us perhaps can come up with different answers to that question, but let's hear what God Himself has to say. Let God speak for Himself and let us listen. God says that we are to repent and we are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there, and it was my intention in doing so, we read there about Paul's visit with the elders at Miletus. The way in which he gathered them there, and when he was meeting with them, he summed up the essential things that he did when he was 3 years in Ephesus. And what is the essence of the message and the thrust of his presence? What is it that Paul emphasizes that he did amongst them most carefully? He taught them repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the most important and urgent issues for every one of us. God flags them up. God highlights them. They are writ large and are often repeated to every one of us. His word tells us about our sin as our problem. In our conscience, we know what right and wrong is. God's Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us when we've stepped across the line. We know time and time again God telling us our problem is sin. But what are we doing about it? The gospel that we have here this morning confronts us with that spiritual problem. And it tells us of the way in which that problem is solved in Jesus Christ the Lord. And the echoes of that spiritual lesson and these spiritual things, the emphasis that Paul had in Ephesus, the emphasis on earlier years in our living, the echo of these things come rolling down ever since we were little children. Perhaps they're powerfully applied to us just now when we think of a member of our own family or a friend that we had that was a Christian and the spiritual emphasis that that person had and the impression that they left with us. Perhaps, again, all this happened. Perhaps the spiritual imprint and the teaching that we got, it's happened so long ago. It was in a little congregation. There was only two or three people there. Everything about it was so small and so insignificant. And because it's small and insignificant, we think we can dismiss it. On Thursday night there, we had Mr. McCoosh showing to us the Bible from Robert Murray McShane. And the one thing that came to me when I looked at that Bible was just how small the writing was in the Bible. And sometimes we think, well, it's small what God is saying here. Sometimes we think that what's happened to us was in a small little corner in a distant land with a few people long time ago. Everything is small about it. And because it's small, we think that we can safely dismiss it. But now, here this morning, God is speaking to us in letters that are 30 feet high. God is laying the emphasis and the stress where it belongs upon the problem we have of sin in our lives. And He's telling us. He's telling us to the echo that we cannot remove that stain. He's telling us that only Jesus Christ, His Son, can give protection to us. He's telling us that if we are to be safe for all eternity, we've got to trust in Him, rest in Him for the good of our souls. From the heavens, God is shouting at us plain and clear words today. But not only that, you know the way in which when you get a book and you open it and it's page one, and you've got to go sometimes reading and thumbing through it to get to the last page and the answer or the solution, whatever it might be, whatever kind of book you're interested in. You've got to go right through to the end. But remember what we've got here. We've got an open scroll. And you don't have to stop. In fact, you cannot stop at page one. The whole thing is set out for us. God takes us through to the conclusions. if you want to take what's often asked about reading a book, is there a happy ending? Does everybody live happy ever after? To answer that question, we've got to say, only those who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord. For everyone else, it's going to happen just as it says in the chapter. God will not be indifferent, but He sets before us the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might try to hide behind our ignorance. We might try to say, I never knew. Or we might turn to somebody that's beside us and says, you never told me. But the commandments of God and the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've heard it. We know of the way in which Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. We know because we've been told and we've been taught about Him time and time and time again. The commandments and the Gospels have been repeated to us. And the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is, are we listening? Because so often, there are a whole pile of other things come pressing in upon us. So often there's a whole pile of other things that need our attention that we've got to do tomorrow. And we put these things about our soul and our sin and our spiritual survival, we put them to the back of the queue. Simply put, we think it's safe to disregard what God is saying to us. And God is now shouting from the heavens to us in letters that are 30 feet high. The flying scroll is going down Loch Linnhe, telling us about the simple gospel truth of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to play down our ignorance. We try to play down the seriousness, the danger that we're in. Sin isn't all that bad, is it? We try to sugarcoat it. We try to paint it up. We try to make it acceptable, at least in a measure. So often people will say to ministers and to gospel preachers, you're overloading the Word. You're putting too much weight upon the Word, too much of an emphasis upon the Word. You're frightening people. No, we're not. We're only telling people what God has already said. We're not inventing. We're only repeating. God has spoken, and He's calling us to Jesus Christ, His Son. The seriousness. One phrase in, we were looking at Robert Murray McShane on Thursday night, one phrase in his brief article on his life came home to me very powerfully. One woman said this, you told me oftentimes about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you never told me the danger I was in, the danger that we're all in, the seriousness of what we're handling, and also the consequences of it. We can hide behind our delusions. We can hide behind things and say, well, all that isn't really going to happen, is it? It's not really going to be like that, will it? Things won't go that far, will they? Would God do that to us now? And you see, the way we're putting the question, we already think we know the answer. And the answer comes back to shock us. Oh yes, He will. Would God do that today? Yes, He will. The prophet Isaiah says something very simple to us. He says this, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is the way." Let nobody be in any doubt here today of what God requires from us. There are times, yes, there are times when it's difficult to determine exactly what's been said. We have a problem, and I've outlined it at the very beginning of the problem we have in these four verses of understanding exactly what God is saying. And I hope that I've explained it as best I can so that nobody is in any doubt what this passage is saying. God is saying, this is the way. That there will be no cloud. That there will be no doubt. That there will be nothing coming between us and the message God has for us here. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Repent and be converted. Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He invites us, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden. He has the gift of life. He has the gift of pardon. He has the touch to change our lives and to turn them new and on a fresh course. Look to Him and be ye saved, all ye the ends of the earth. And when we do that, time and time again in the Bible we've got in our hands, God says to us, you won't be ashamed. Oh yes, people will try to make fun of you, will laugh at you. People will try every device that they can under the prompting of the devil to try to dissuade you from the way you're going. But God says, no, this is the way. And you won't be ashamed in the long run for going along this way. 30 feet high in the skies, God is shouting to us, this is the way, walk in it. A simple message for every one of us. One final text before we close. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, towards the end of that chapter, there's an experience that challenges every one of us. And I want to read a few verses as we close. This is the Lord God speaking about the temple. And remember, Zechariah was back there building the new temple, the second temple after the exile. Read what it says. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, If thou walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler over Israel. The rich, gracious blessings of God that come upon obeying his word. But wait a minute. Listen to the next set of verses. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the root out of my land which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified by my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it. So shall he say, why? Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold of other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. There is no protection from the people we are, the position we're in, or the privileges we've got. God speaks plainly to you and to me this morning. A word that we know that we need to be reminded of and refreshed on. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So next time you're walking on the beach, and next time you hear a helicopter, even if it doesn't have a banner behind it, next time you hear a helicopter, may this message come back powerfully to speak to every one of us. We have no excuse. We have heard a great message today. Let us close in with the one who is set before us, and may we know him as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we bless thy name for the patience thou dost exhibit in thy dealings with us. The many years and opportunities when we have disregarded what thou hast said, when we have dismissed the encouragements and the workings of our God in our lives calling us to thyself, the many ways in which we have attempted to run, to immerse ourselves in our own plans and our own dreams, and all the while thou hast followed us, chasing after us with thy word. And here this morning thou dost speak in clear and plain and bold words that none of us can confuse or misunderstand. Lord, bless thy word to our souls today. And may we know the spiritual significance and the spiritual effect of everything we've handled just now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 119 at verse 9. By what means shall a young man learn his way to purify, if he according to thy word thereto attentive be? Unfeignedly thee have I sought with all my soul and heart. Oh, let me not from the right path of thy commands depart. Thy word I in my heart have hid, that I offend not thee. O Lord, thou our blessed art, thy statutes teach thou me. The judgments of thy mouth each one my lips declared have. More joy thy testimonies weigh than riches all me gave. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.